greets all of you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Without waste of time, let us just turn to our Bibles, Malachi 3, verse 6, Malachi 3, verse 6. Malachi 3, verse 6. We're going to read three scriptures. First one reads in this manner: For I am the Lord, I change not.
Amen.
Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
How many are happy to serve a God who is not changing?
Amen.
In the ever-changing world. Hallelujah. Times change, people change, climate change, but there is only one person that does not change, is the Almighty God. How many believe that even families change? How many believe friends change? Marital partners change? But there is somebody that says, For I am the Lord, I change not. Hallelujah. And then Hebrews, the chapter will be chapter 6. The verse will be verse 18. Hebrews 6. Chapter 6, verse 18. Have you got it? It says that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie. He doesn't change. He doesn't lie.
Yes.
Hallelujah. We might have a consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. James chapter 1 verse 17. Sure whether is it doing what it's supposed to do or is it the height? Amen. James 1:17 is written this manner. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. He's a good giver of good gifts. And anything good that you have received is from above. Hallelujah. Your job doesn't come from the economy, it comes from above.
Amen.
Your health doesn't come from a health specialist, it comes from above.
Amen.
Your house does not come from the bank, it comes from above.
Amen.
How many are happy with this? For every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh it down from the Father of lights. With whom, this is the Father of lights, folks. With whom is no variableness. When we say something is variable, it's something that changes from time to time. Business people would know that there is what we call a fixed cost. Your rent for 12 months, we call it a fixed cost. But a variable cost, I don't know, example that I can give, telephone is not fixed. It varies from month to month. So variableness, it means the degree of change from time to time. But this one has got no variableness. Hallelujah. Can I bring it closer? God does not have mood swings. Oh yes. You've got variableness. Sometimes we wake up, even the best of the best. Brother Branham was moody. He said that. Even the best of the best have moody days. But God has got no moody days.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Neither shadow of retaining. Shall we bow our head? I just loved how you broke into prayer. Brother Branham says the best gift that God can give to any pastor is a prayerful congregation.
Amen.
And I just love how the Spirit flowed and how you just broke into prayer. Let's bow our heads. Gracious Heavenly Father, we just want to speak to you once again. because every believer this evening had a way to speak to you, and now it's just my opportunity as well as a pastor to speak to you and invite you to come and borrow the human lips and through which you will speak to your people, dear God. My desire is not to expose my thoughts, is not to expose my wishes or my preferences, and that is why my expectation just put my personality under the blood. There is nothing good about my personality that you can use. I'm a sinner saved by grace, and I'm depending on your grace as I speak to your bride. What a grand privilege for a human being to stand in front of the bride of Jesus Christ. It takes a sense of responsibility, and Lord, I appreciate the gravity of the moment, and help me not in any way to take it for granted. Let me speak the way you would want me to speak. And Lord, even if I could make a mistake, I already ask for forgiveness, because we human beings are prone to mistakes, dear God. But we expect you just to take over and minister from seat to seat. And Lord, if there are needs in every seat, we have spoken and have read, you do not change. And Lord, I believe you do not change. There are no variableness about you, as we commit everything to you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
As you take your seat, I just need the volume here. I think he will give me the volume. Amen. Are you happy this evening?
Yes.
Hallelujah. I'm happy to see you, all of you, this evening. Amen. I hope God will speak to your hearts. Brother Philip just held up at work. Just send his apology. Just want that to be noted. Amen. I just overheard Brother Grace as the rest of you were praying, because he had a mic, so the voice was quite amplified. I could hear it on the other side. And he said, you are the same yesterday, today, forever, and you change not. Hallelujah. And already you can see with the scriptures that have been read, I want to speak about an unchanging God. Hallelujah. An unchanging God. How many people have ever been disappointed? The people that told you that they were going to do something and they never did it? Hallelujah. I know every wife will raise their hands. Amen. Just hope mine has not raised her hands. Amen. Because you know how we are. Something gets broken. See that I'll fix it by Friday. Friday comes, nothing is done. The other Friday, nothing is done. 3 months down the line, nothing is done. Amen. And yeah, so we have those moments. I was quite offended by one advert of a plumbing company in Pretoria. The other time I was driving past, I saw a bucket driving past me, and he had these bold letters that were written on the belly of the bucket. We fix things that your husband cannot fix. And I looked at the man, I say, such a nerve. Amen. Wonderful. What I'm simply saying is that human nature has got variables. And sometimes we make promises not because we want to mislead somebody. We make promises because at that given point in time, with our limited knowledge, we think it's going to be done. But later, after a week or so, you realize that it is beyond you. Then you've got to pick up the call of the phone and phone the person and say, listen, I won't be able to do it anymore because circumstances have changed. Hallelujah. Even I, as a pastor, can make a promise to you that something is going to be done. With my limited knowledge, with my good motives, I would want it to be done. But later on, I might somersault on it and say, listen, it looks like it may not be done this year, next year. But there is a God who does not change. Hallelujah. And that is who I want to present tonight. A God who does not change. Hallelujah. If he speaks something, if it is cold, he will still do it when it's hot. If it's winter, he will do it even during summer. He's got no excuse in terms of the change of seasons, the change of times, the change of circumstances. If he said something, he will keep his word. We together. Now, there are three attributes. I had much better put it across. Our God has created all the gods. But when he created them, he did not want them to be gods. Some he just wanted a cow, and a man made God out of a cow. Somewhere he wanted to make a tree, somebody made a wood out of a tree, or God out of a tree. But I'm simply saying, all the gods that humanity worships, if you trace them, if that tree, you trace it back, you trace it back to our God. If you trace the sun, you trace it back to our God. If you trace the, I think India has got millions of gods. And I want to say, of all the gods that are in India, they have been created by the God that you and I worship tonight. Are you not happy to worship such a God? You see, people have got gods or idols that they worship. But there is three attributes that make our God to be a distinguished God. Are we together? Three attributes that make our God to be distinguished or distinct. He is omniscient. Our God knows everything. Hallelujah. Are you here, church? Our God knows everything. He knows the movements of an ant, what the ant would do next year around this time. He knows where the mosquito would fly or the movements of mosquito next year, even now. Are you a church? Amen. He knows all. There are certain creatures that you are not even know that they exist. He knows every form of life upon the earth. And he has kept every form of life on the radar. Are you here? Doesn't the song say he watches over the sparrow? Hallelujah. He watches over everything. He knows your thoughts. He knows your mistakes even before they are committed. He knows your imperfections even before you get to situations where your imperfections emerge. Are you here, church? He knows everything. And you know why? Sometimes, have you ever met people where sometimes they become friends with you and later you will say, goodness, only if they knew some stuff about me, they would never want to be my friends anymore. Are we together? But with this God, when he elected you, he knew everything about you. Amen. Folks, are you here? Yes. He knew all your sins. Those that were there and those that are still going to be committed, he knew all of them. That means after marriage, and young ones, it's good when you get somebody and you say there is chemistry between us and you send lovey-dovey messages. But after the pastor has pronounced you husband and wife, then there is a reality check. And a brother that used to stand here and sing beautiful songs, you never knew that when he took off his shoes and his socks, the entire house becomes like there is a skunk that has died in the house. those things, they emerge after the marriage. Are we together? And every marriage has got a moment of conflict. It's natural. After, because right there, we have taken our rose glasses off. Now we see the reality. And that is why, if your love was enough to bring you on the altar, then you're going to have a problem. That love must sustain you. There are certain imperfections that you're going to discover about your partner. Until in the middle of the night, you pause and say, did I really make the right decision? Hallelujah. Don't talk like you don't know what I'm talking about. Amen. We all have those moments. Are we together? Yes, there are times, even Brother Branham, I don't know what went through the mind of Sister Mida when she banged the door on the prophet. She must have said, what a man that has got no understanding. It's because after marriage, there are certain things that will emerge, that will irritate you. But what keeps us together is because the love that we had for one another, it was not the filial love, it was the agape love. Are you a marriage people? Filial love cannot withstand the conditions, but agape love is able to withstand all the circumstances. Goodness, you get mad with them, but later you turn around and say, what can I be without them, shame? Hallelujah. What happened? What changed is because love hovered over your heart. Are we together? Without the agape love, not many marriages would have survived 6 months. And I thank God for marriages that were able to tap into that fountain of love, that despite the faults and imperfections that we come across, we are able to say, goodness, partner, we are together. We are in this for a long haul. But that's agape love. So I'm saying, even in marriage, there are moments of shock where you say, oh, goodness, only if I knew. But with God, when He chose you, there is nothing that you would ever do that would make Him pause and say, but what did I do with this person? He knew the end before the beginning. Amen. Hallelujah. He had your picture in totality. From A to Z, and say, despite where we are, despite how the journey would evolve, I would still love this person unconditionally. And that's my God that I'm speaking about. He knew everything. Before the foundation of the world, He knew what type of a person you were going to be. He knew your habit. He knew things that were going to irritate Him about you. But He chose you in Christ. By His sovereign choice. Amen. Are you not happy, folks? Hallelujah. Amen. And that's why every time the devil would come and say, you never thought she would do this. You never thought she would do this. And he comes and he reports to God. God says, remember, I knew what it was going to happen. That is why there was the lamb that was laid before the foundation of the world. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. He knows everything. He is omnipresent. He can be everywhere, anytime, in everyone. Did you hear me? He can be in heaven, He can be on earth, He can be in America, He can be in Africa, He can be everywhere. Wherever the child of God is, the presence of God is with the child of God. Are we together? So, I don't care where you are. And now, it brings a sense of responsibility because you now begin to say, this God is everywhere. He's not only in church, He's at work. He's not only at work, He's at school. He's not only at school, He's in my closet. Wherever I am, the presence of the Lord is with me. Amen. Are we together? Amen. He is omnipotent, which means He has unlimited power. Folks, unlimited power. I want to say it so that it can really get embedded in your mind. Unlimited power. There is nothing that this God cannot move. Amen. There is no circumstance that he cannot change, that he will fail to change. Oh, can I take it further? If needs be, there is no person that he is unable to change. He can change even the most hardened man. He can change even the vilest woman. His power is unlimited. He can change a prostitute in a split of a second and turn a prostitute in a daughter of God and look at the same prostitute and say she has never done it in the first place. Are you here for this? This is unlimited. Why? He's got the power to even erase bad memories about you in his mind. Did you hear me? He's got the power to eliminate or to erase bad memories about you in his mind. He can make himself to forget the things that you have done. Are you here, folks? He's got power. You don't have power over your memory. You cannot erase certain things on your memory. But this God, he can look at you and tomorrow he can make himself forget. Not by circumstances. He can make himself forget about your sin. Because he takes them and throws them into the sea of forgetfulness. Believers are still going to God to ask for forgiveness of sins that have long been forgiven. I've realized that it is much easier to forgive a human being than for a human being to forgive themselves. And a lot of times people are in a prison, not because God put them into a prison, but it's because their guilt conscience has put them into the prison. And the devil works on that guilty conscience. But hear me and hear me very well tonight. He has unlimited power to remove you from the guilt trip that the devil has put on you. He's got the power to cancel that trip and say, my child, I remember, but it's forgiven. And not only forgiven, it's justified. It's as if you have never done it in the first place. When I look at you, I don't remember what you have done. All sins under the blood of Jesus Christ are forgiven. Oh, I will repeat that. All sins under the blood of Jesus Christ are forgiven. Are you, can you believe that? Don't let the devil whisper to your ear. Tell him, my God has got unlimited power. All sins that are forgiven, as long as they are under the blood of Jesus Christ, they are forgiven. Folks, I don't care. I don't care how fresh your memory is about it. All sins are forgiven. That this makes me feel good. Because it empowers me. It makes me to stand up and look the devil in the eye and say, devil, all sins are forgiven. Every case has been settled and dismissed by the judge himself. And there is no opportunity for an appeal for the devil. Are you with me? Three attributes: he's omniscient, he's omnipresent, he's omnipotent. The prophet of God says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He says, his power is in the message, who hath believed our report. His power is unlimited. It's limited to your faith. His power is unlimited, but it's limited to your faith. What does it mean? For as much as you can believe, as much as you can get from God. Are you here, folks? His power is unlimited. It's limited to your faith. Do you see why the devil would want you to doubt? The devil uses certain many elements to make you doubt. He can use time element until you say, this problem was here for so many years. It is still there. And he uses time and say, if it has been this long, it means that God does not care. How many years did the Israelites wait in Egypt before they can be set free from bondage? 400 years. This God is not time bound. Are we together? If he has got to make you an eternal being to show his eternal power, he will do that. If he's got to preserve, well, this is what I mean, if he's got to preserve your life for as long as he can in order for you to see the answer for your prayer, he will do that. Are we together? Who is the old man that was waiting for the birth of the Messiah? Simeon. He was waiting for the birth of the Messiah and he couldn't die. For as long as the Messiah was not born, no matter how many ailments that Simeon had, the devil could not take away Simeon off the scene, because there was a prayer of Simeon that was still standing and say, I will not depart until I see the birth of the Messiah. Amen. And I'm saying the God of Simeon is still a God tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. The God of Simeon is still God tonight. And he can say, you have prayed about it. And some of you, the reason you have not died, you could have died, but it's because there are pending answers to your prayer. And God says, as long as this prayer is not answered, I cannot take this human being off the scene. Oh, this makes me feel good. Hallelujah. Some of you, your unanswered prayer are the very thing that sustains you. Hallelujah. Doesn't that feel beautiful? And I can take it further and say, even if you can die and be in the grave, do you know that Brother Brom say God will still go after your prayers? Amen. Hallelujah. Don't worry about a child that has backslidden. Say a prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. God, the prayer will roll on. Even when you are not there, the prayer will roll on. And one day it gets answered and you get reunited on the other side. Did I just say he's unlimited, but what limits him is your faith? Amen. Amen. He continues in this message, the power of God. Paragraph 46, he says, Satan's power limited. Satan's power is limited. Hallelujah. If he threatens to kill you, there's a point where that's as far as he can go. Are we together? Amen. If he makes you sick, there are boundaries. Yes. Anything that the devil does, God would never allow him without setting a boundary. Yes, you can go and attack Job, but there is a boundary. Amen. You can go and attack him or her, but there is a bound. Amen. Hallelujah. God has got some non-negotiables about your life. Yes. Hallelujah. He tells the devil, you can do that, but you cannot do that. Yeah. You can touch the body, but the soul, don't touch the soul. Amen. Hallelujah. And you as well can go to God and say, God, I've got some non-negotiables. I've got things that, no matter what, God, I don't want the devil to touch that. Yeah. You can tell the devil and say, God, there are some must-win battles that I must win. And I, as a pastor of God, must win battles. One of the must-win battles is that no matter what, my relationship with God must never be jeopardized. Amen. I don't care what goes on. That must remain intact. Amen. The second thing is that I want my marriage to always be intact. Amen. I say, you can do whatever you want to do, devil, but that is an area that you must not go to. The third thing that I've got as a must win is that no matter what, all my family, my son and my sons and my daughter, they must make it to heaven. Yes. I don't care what happens. Those are three non-negotiables. And I'm not afraid to say that, because that's exactly what I told God, even the David. So I say, God, whatever you allow the devil to do, he must never come close to those. Do you have the must win battles? Do you have the must-win battles? Faith's power brings to pass God's revealed revelation. God helps those who cannot act and help themselves. I'll repeat. God helps those who cannot act and help themselves. And it says the old dishonoring proverb, or the old dishonoring God proverb that said, God help those who help themselves. It does not work like that. Brother Brown said, how ridiculous. God helps those who can help themselves. And it says, the power of God, that's exactly what it does. So what does it mean? Sometimes when certain doors shut in your face, it's deliberate. God wants those doors to be shut on your face. Your face. Because why? He doesn't want you to get to a point where you say, I can help myself. Yeah. Are you a church? Yeah. God wants you to get into a state of helplessness. And that's what makes him to come down and rescue from. Because you know why? It's only a man. And I'm told that the lifesavers at the beach. I'm told there was one that who I heard saying, when a person is in the water and you see that they're about to drown, the rules, and I don't know how precise it was, but it fascinated me. He said, if you see somebody drowning, you don't immediately jump in. Because if you jump in, they are in a shock. And if you jump in and you hold them, they are going to grab you. Both of you are going to drown. They say you've got to observe a person. They've got to go down, come up, down, come up. When you see that they are about to lose strength, then you jump in and you are able to carry them on your shoulder. Did you check that one? Hallelujah. So that principle happens with God. Sometimes he sees you drowning and you're still trying to say, I can figure it out. He looks at you. Then you drown again. You try to figure out yourself that I can save myself. And while you lose the strength, all of a sudden, God comes in to rescue. Because God loves our helplessness state. He wants us to get to a point and say, I can't do it. Right there is a moment when God steps in. Oh, folks, are you here? A lot of times if God comes in to rescue us prematurely, we are able to come out of the situation and say, I knew it. I know myself. I'm a better driver. I saw that sharp curve and I knew that it's a matter of time. I lost the control, but in no time, the car was back on the road. Nothing about God. God allows you to get where you are scared. And even someone, you get removed even from the driver's seat and you are in the back seat and there is no driver and God comes and takes over the car so that you can say to the believer, it was not me. It was the grace of God. A human being has got pride naturally. Yeah. Amen. And God wants to remove that element of, I did it. I. No, 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 no. Are you still with me? Yeah. Hallelujah. Now he says, in the message, does God change his mind? Paragraph 7. He says, you know, we can change our mind. We learn a little different. We know we were wrong. But I don't believe that God can change his mind. Folks, I want to pause on this one. I don't believe that God can change his mind. This makes me feel good. Because you know what it tells me? It tells me that when he elected me and saved me, and placed me in the body, he has got no intention to retreat from that commitment. Hallelujah. He will not change. God cannot save you today. And after 10 years, he says, what have I done? No, sir. If he saves you, he saves you eternally. God has got no moments of regrets. I don't know how you are feeling tonight. You may feel down. You may feel downtrodden. But there is one thing that I want you to take away from this message. Our God will never reverse his decision about his salvation, about your life. No matter what. I heard myself correct. No matter what. If you leave, he will bring you back. If he doesn't bring you, he will take you home. But no matter what, he will never lose you. Those that were in his hand before the foundation of the world, they will return back to his hand, no matter what. Amen. Say to your neighbor, no matter what. Amen. No matter what. Amen. I am the child of the Most High God. He will never change his decision about me. He chose me. He never consulted the devil. He never consulted the demon. He never consulted the angel. He never consulted any prophet. He chose me. He is sovereign. Nothing will change the mind of God. It is an eternal transaction. Did you hear me? Yes, you'll have your ups and downs, but God has got no ups and downs. Yes. Are you here, church? Yes. Don't listen to me. You will be liberated. I say God will never change his mind about his ways. He said, I will have a church that will be without spot or wrinkle. And this evening, I'm making a confession. David, I'm part of that church. Yes. Do you believe that you're part of that church? The church of the firstborn. You are part of it. There is no seminary that will change that. There is nothing that will change that. Some that are just looking and say, "How you don't know, Pastor? He knows everything. He said it not out of ignorance, but because he knows everything." He says, I don't believe that God can change his mind. But if he does, then he certainly could not be infinite. He could not make a better decision if he would change his mind. The faith that I have in him, that he doesn't change his mind, because God ever makes a decision, he has to stay with that decision. Each time the same problem comes up, he's got to act in the same way he did the first time. Or he acted wrong in the first time. Brother Bum says, if somebody approached God on certain grounds to ask for something, and God grants them their heart's desire, any human being that will come on the same ground, God would do exactly the same thing. Amen. I will repeat that. If any believer got a blessing from God by coming on certain grounds, any human being that will come on the very same ground, they will be able to get the same blessing.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. And why do we have this? It's because we are compassed by this cloud of witnesses. We look at what happened throughout the pages of the Bible, and we are simply saying, if he did it yesterday, he will do it today, and he will do it forevermore. If he opened the Red Sea, he can still open the Red Sea. If he drowned Pharaoh's chariot, he can still drown your enemy's chariot. If he stopped the sun, he can still stop the sun. He does not change. Are you here, brethren? Hallelujah. If he gave Sarah a child in her old age, and he gave Hannah the child when she was barren, I'm here to declare that that same God, he still can be able to do exactly the same thing. If somebody comes on the same basis as Hannah, God is obligated to do exactly the same thing. And I'm simply saying, you must go into the Bible, pick up a character that inspires you. You look at the character and say, God, in this Bible, I am this character. Wherever this character goes, I'm coming on the same ground. And I believe you will do exactly the same thing. Are there Jobs in the house?
Yeah.
Are there Abrahams in the house?
Yeah.
Are there Enochs in the house?
Yeah.
Are there Jeremiahs in the house?
Yeah.
Are there Marys in the house?
Yeah.
If you come on the same basis, God will do exactly what he did many years ago. And I say, he doesn't change, folks. The same God that looked at the Hebrew children coming into the fire, I'm here to tell you, no matter what the devil tells you, he's not a God of history. He's not a historical God. This evening, as I'm speaking right now, that very same God is right next to where you are sitting. And the singer said, reach out and touch him as he passes by. He will hear your heart's cry. The same one that the woman with the blood issue touched and touched the hem of his garment. Tonight, that same one is not in the grave. He has risen. He lives forevermore. And tonight, if you believe what I'm saying, he is in the building. The devil must not hold you back. Say, I believe that. I accept that. Devil, I don't want to hear your message. I want to hear that message. Do you believe that? Amen. Brother Abraham says, in the message, the unconditional covenant, paragraph 208, if you've got the Holy Ghost, you are God's child. You are Abraham's seed. You've got unconditional covenant written in your heart by God Almighty himself, who can take it back. Hallelujah. Who can take it back? That covenant, he cannot somersault on it and say, oops, I wasn't quite sure when I made this covenant. He can never ever change and move and turn his back on that covenant. Are we together? Amen. He saw that he wouldn't do that. Hallelujah. Amen. In the message, the calling of Abraham, he comes, he says, now to the oath, God took an oath over it. He took an oath tonight by himself that none other greater to swear by. He saw by himself he would keep his word. He wanted to make an oath. And when you make an oath, you've got to go to the commissioner of oaths and make an oath. But when God looked around, there was no one that could be a commissioner of oaths. And he saw by himself that he would keep his covenant. And he said he will keep his promise. He didn't only say it, but he saw to it that he would do it. Are we together? Amen. How many believe that this God does not change? Amen. How many can believe that he can do exactly what he did yesterday? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. He can change. And God can just change the course of events in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. If God wants you to come to a certain place, he will strategically place people to help you get where you need to go. Amen. Always again. He will, other people, you will meet them and they will say, goodness, it will be like they've been expecting you for quite some time. Hallelujah. You will be at an institution, you are looking for a space. All of a sudden, some man comes and says, hey, come into my office. Like a brother that told me he had enrolled, he wanted to enroll at a tertiary institution. The space was full. But he says that we got there the next day, and the whatever, I don't know whether is it the dean of the faculty, came out. And he looked around and he just pointed at him and said, you come into my office. And said, what do you want? I want to knock off. What do you want? He put the papers there. On his computer, all of a sudden he said, you are admitted, come and get your papers from the registrar office. I'm saying, who put that man there to help that brother? That man didn't just happen to be there. That man didn't just happen to call the brother. That man was foreordained by God that at such and such time he will be there and our brother will be there. I'm saying, whatever you need, God will put the resources, God will put the people that will help you to go forward. There is nothing out of kilter with God. Do you believe that? Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Amen. Brother Branham says in this message, lifting him up out of history, he says, paragraph 53, but today, the people, if they don't get everything they ask for, the first time they pray, they seem to think that he's dead. We all have been guilty like that. There are no holy cows. We have all been guilty of that. Where you prayed and said, maybe it's not meant for me. And you start looking for reasons why it cannot be done. Hallelujah. And even the devil partners with you and say, let's search in your life. You remember 22 years ago, even before you were baptized, you remember what you did. No wonder things are not going right. Yeah.
And you and the devil come into an agreement and say, I can't get the blessing. But God is not part of that agreement. If he spoke the word, he will keep his word. He says, actually, the word of God shall never return to him void. It shall accomplish what it was sent for. And I'm saying, if God spoke it, it shall bring the result. There is no word that will go back to God without accomplishing its purpose. And tonight, my prophet said, you are the covenant people. Hear me out. You are the covenant people. He said, God took Christ on the cross and he ripped him apart as a covenant. And he said, you've got to believe that you are the covenant people. You cannot faint. Do you believe that? You are the covenant people. You cannot faint. It will look like you are failing, but you cannot fail. It may seem like you may fall. You will not fall. Why? There is a way. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but his way shall never pass away. You are the covenant people. You cannot fail. Do you believe that? Do you believe that over here? You are the covenant people. You cannot fail. Do you believe that over there? Young, old, woman, man, no matter who you are, believe this, you are the covenant people. You cannot fail. Why? It's because if you fail, God would have failed. Brethren, let us keep going. Let us put God at work. Break about him. Tell the people, you don't know my God. He can make it rain. He will make it rain. He can heal me. He will heal you. Break about God. Speak about his greatness. And tell the people, there is no God like my God. When was the last time you entered a breaking session? Hey, have you ever seen the boys playing in the street? And your boy is telling everybody, my father is the strongest man in the street. Hallelujah. Even when you are with your child, you know your child believes that you, any man you can really knock them down. No matter how skinny or you can be, he can look at a giant and look at the giant and say, I will go and tell my daddy about you. He will sort you out. Amen. Until you are very, very scared in your heart. You say, this boy will get me into trouble. Hallelujah. Why? He's got a childlike faith in you. And so my dad can sort out everything. Hallelujah. It's only after they've grown up where we make them understand that, listen, dad cannot do that. He thinks you can afford everything until you tell him that, no, it's not month end. Hallelujah. We are the ones that tell our children, and sometimes, folk, a power of confession. Don't just tell your child and say, I cannot afford it. No. You will never afford it. Yeah. I said it and understand what I mean. Yeah. Just say the right time. Dad will consult with his heavenly father, and we're going to sort it out. Folks, are you here? And I think we are supposed to instill a sense of gratitude in our children. When a child asks for a certain toy and you cannot afford it, you say, wait a minute, we'll speak up to God to provide it. And the day you come with a toy, you say, my son, come, let's put the toy on the table. Let's speak to our father. Your father has got a father who's unlimited in his power. Let's thank him. But we are quick to say, I can't afford it. You can afford it, but God can afford it. Amen. You are broke. God is not broke. Amen. And when you are broke, don't bring God into your brokenness. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. He says, I'm Melchizedek. Yes. He's the possessor of all things. Yes. He owns the platinum. He owns the gold. He owns the diamond. Our God created the universe. He owns everything. Yes. And my prophet said he will bankrupt the heavens before he allows his word to come to faith. And if he tells me that heaven can be bankrupt. It tells me heaven has got a fat bank balance.
Amen. Amen.
Do you hear that?
Amen.
Don't look me in a funny way and think it's prosperity gospel here. Folks, let me put it this way. If you are a person, you've got neighbors, and the neighbor, I've got a neighbor, I don't know, my neighbor is very rich. He doesn't work, but he makes it. All he does, he drinks beer, buys meat, just takes a drive to the mall, come back, goes over. And he actually is the one that tells me that, take, look after the house, but I'm going to Cape Town for a holiday. When he comes back, he says, I'm off to Mauritius. And I sit there, I look, I say, I'm not drinking, this guy is drinking. And I'm looking, I say, okay, if I was to testify to this guy, where do we begin? Hallelujah. You cannot testify about how great and how unlimited God is while you ask a sinner and say, can you give me 5,000?
Amen.
He will even mock your God and say, ah, you are telling me that you are going to heaven, but let me tell you, God is interested. He's a Jehovah Jireh. He will meet our every need, folks. And I'm not comparing myself to my neighbor because I've got a contentment that he does not possess. But I'm simply saying, if the devil can allow him to have whatever he can have, oh, God can allow me to have whatever I have. But I will never stoop down where an unbeliever looks at me and thinks that I'm an orphan. I am not an orphan. I serve the Almighty God. He can move a bank. He can move a nation. He can move a government. He can move everything to make sure that I don't become an orphan. Does somebody believe that? Does somebody believe that? You are not an orphan. How many believe that they are not an orphan? Yes, your mom and dad may be dead, but you are not an orphan. There is a heavenly Father that watches every move. He can provide for whatever you need. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Amen. Brother Branham says, what we need is men and women today of gallant spirit, men and women who are determined to hold on.
Amen.
If it means to hold on, that means the winds will come. Storms will come. But we are looking for men and women that are determined to hold on. Till they see God that really lives coming into action, that will not take no for an answer. We are looking for men, gallant men, with a gallant spirit that will not take no for an answer. Do you know what it means to say, to not to take no for an answer? It means, and I often told you about what I saw the other time in a bank, in an Absa bank in Pretoria. This man had put up his money into a 32-day notice account. And one of the family members passed away. He came to the bank. You remember there was a time when the banks told you that nothing can be done. He went there and said, I need my money. The teller just said, no, it's impossible. You cannot get your money. According to the bank, you've got to put a notice. And there's nothing that we can do. The man started screaming and said, I want to see the bank manager. And they said, there's nothing. We cannot call the bank manager. Read that man in an Absa branch. He took off his shirt. And he started causing a scene and said, that's not the bank's money. That's my money. I want it now. Yes. Not 32 years down the line. Now. That's my money. I need it. And he took off his shirt. And they escorted him into the bank manager's office. We don't know what was discussed there. What we know, the man came back wearing his shirt, smiling. Off he went. Something happened in that office. The man knew that in my account, there is a money and it belongs to me. I'm not going away. I am looking for a believer that will not take no for an answer and say there is a blessing for me. I'm not going away. I will take it away with me. How many believers can do that? I will not stop until all of you believe it.
Amen.
I will not stop until every one of you say amen to that. I want every person in the building to disregard their circumstances, to disregard the evidence, and say, that's mine.
Amen.
Amen. That will not take no for an answer.
Amen.
They are determined to stay with it. If they are sick and the doctor has said they can't get well, yet something within them tells them they are going to be well. They hold on no matter what takes place. And folks, God loves a perseverant believer. Like that woman, the Gentile woman who approached Jesus and said, my daughter is sick. And Jesus turned around and said, I don't think it is fit for me to take the children's bread and give it to dogs. What an insult to be called a dog. But the woman said, listen, Master, what I know is that when the master is busy eating with his children around the table and there are crumbs that are falling off the table, the dogs, they go down and they lick the crumb. They eat from the crumb. And if I'm a dog, there must be a crumb. And I tell you, if a crumb is falling off God's table, that crumb is enough. It will sustain you for so many ages. I don't care whether he calls me dog, as long as I'm his dog. I said, devil, I don't care whether he calls me dog, as long as I'm his dog.
Amen.
The dog of the master is very fat.
Amen.
The problem is not being a dog. It depends whose dog are you. Some dogs are starving. They walk down the line, but they are dogs. But some dogs, they get taken and be put in the bedroom. They even sleep in the master's bed. Some dogs have got medical aid. Don't just hear the dog and run away. Just say, no, no, I'm a special breed of a dog.
Amen.
That needs the master's attention.
Amen.
Amen.
Hold on.
Amen.
No matter what. At the right time.
Amen.
Every blessing that you have ever prayed for, God will avail it to you. Heaven. Tonight. Heaven has got every resource to make every need in the building right now to be fulfilled. I'm leaving you in those ways. Heaven has got resource to make every need in the building to be fulfilled. And whatever you have lost, God can restore it. Not one fold, not two fold, not three fold, not five fold, seven fold. Do you hear me? Sevenfold. If you lost one rent, you're going to get seven rent. If you lost one child, you're going to get another child. Whatever you have lost, God will restore it. Sevenfold. Do you believe that, folks? Job lost his children, but the children were not replaced. They were restored. What it means? If it was Susan, Susan came back. I heard myself properly. It was not a new child. It was the same child that he lost. God has got a place where he has got all your blessing, but he wants you to take no for an answer. God bless you richly. God has not changed. As we stand to our feet, I think how you prayed, you're going to pray, but not pray for yourself. You're going to look for a person that has been on your heart. Could be a child, could be a marriage partner, it could be somebody in the church. There must have been somebody that you observed at a distance and say, goodness, they need prayer. Brother Branham said, when a man approaches God, not about his needs, but about the needs of another person, God is obligated to hear that prayer. So I will go to God with your needs. You go to God with my needs, and he will do something tonight. Do you believe that he can do something tonight? I think we're going to just say, only believe, only believe. Just the piano only, we're going to sing it softly. And then all of us, we're going to pray. Don't care who's next to you. Speak to God.
Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Possible.
God hears you. Gracious Heavenly Father, we are very much thankful this evening to have read in the Bible where you declared that you are the Lord and you change not. Heavenly Father, what an assurance to know that we are saving a God who can never be a liar. We are saving a God who can never change His word, or you will never turn your back on your word, dear God. And Lord, we just want to thank you for being such a kind of God. And Lord, we realize there is no circumstance that is impossible for you not to change, dear God. There is no heart that is impossible for you not to change, oh God. And Heavenly Father, as mortals, we approach you and we say tonight, be merciful. We sang a song, only believe. All things are possible. It's not just a song, but it's our confession that everything is possible tonight. Whatever we need, cancer is possible for it to be healed. Salvation, whoever is lost, can be found tonight. Whoever is sick can be healed, dear God. And Lord, I know you can restore, and not just restore, but restore 7 times. And we approach you tonight, and we say, be merciful to us. We want to see your power. Your prophet said, we are looking for men and women that will not take no for an answer. They will approach you with need. They will approach you with request. And say, on this basis, the word said we shall get it. And they will not take no for an answer. And tonight, we are not taking no for an answer. We say, David, you cannot make us doubt this way. Because we are the miracle. We would have never been here had it not been possible by the spoken way. God knew that we would come in this season. And at this point in time, we approach you, oh God. The song says, Jesus is here. We do not doubt that. The same thing that you did 2,000 years ago, you can do exactly the same thing tonight. Men and women are here. They've got needs. I don't know them. But Lord, you are the Lord that can search the desires of the heart. And you can grant them their heart's desire. Because what? All things are possible. And we approach you on the basis of faith. We have no father except you, dear God. Humanity will fail us, but the deity will never fail us. That's why we want to yield ourselves to you and say, speak, dear God. Change circumstances. Change people. Move elements in order to bless your children. May you prove that you are not a historical God. But tonight, we are lifting you up out of history. And by faith, we know you will touch every man and woman tonight in the building, dear God, whatever their needs may be, grant it, dear God. Everything is possible. We believe that, dear God. And the scripture says, whatever you ask, and you ask in my name, I shall do it. And in the name of Jesus Christ, we are asking everything for every man and woman, even those that cannot pray for themselves. May they are tormented. They've gone through the storms of life. Their faith is shaken. Tonight, I'm praying for them. Strengthen their faith. May you bring results until they themselves can testify to their fellow humankind and say, God is alive. That's what we need, dear. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you for being a wonderful God. Thank you for being an ever, never failing God. Thank you for keeping your way. Thank you for being omniscient. Thank you for being omnipresent. And thank you for being omnipotent. You've got unlimited power. There is nothing that is beyond your ability. And tonight, all the brotherhood places where there were no fruits coming in the lives of your children, we are speaking life in every area that was dry. And all the bones that were dry, we are speaking and prophesying and say, let the life come back and breathe life into those dead bones. That these believers can speak from experience, that it must never be just a theory, that our God is alive. We have seen you many a time in the meetings of Brother Branham, how you would honor people's faith. And we are here making a declaration that you change not. I would have never spoken in the manner that I spoke unless I believe every word that I spoke. I know, God, you are such a wonderful God. May you be gracious. May you move upon the life of the people. May you bring results, dear God. May you move the obstacles by the wayside. May you bring blessing. May you bring possibilities. May you bring blessing so that there could be a thanksgiving in the house of God, that the people can come and say, He did it again. And they will know that you will do it again. You have never failed, dear God. You opened the Red Sea. You stopped the sun. You stopped the elements of the fire. Oh God, the vision gave birth. Every word that you spoke from Genesis, there is not even a single word that has ever failed, oh God. And in the end time, we say there shall be believers. And tonight we say, David, here we are. We are the fulfillment of that scripture. Pray for every woman. Pray for every man. Pray for every marriage. Pray for every soul. May you, God, come and rejuvenate every believer. May you come and instill a sense of confidence that they may know the kind of God that they serve. There is no God like you. You are the God of the Bible. We have seen you moving many a time. And every circumstance tonight, you have got the ability to get involved in that circumstance and change the circumstance. That's who you are. You change now. You cannot lie. You cannot fail. You cannot change your mind about your ways. We want to thank you, Father. We want to appreciate you tonight. We want to thank you for the victories that are yet to be attained. We want to thank you for the blessings that are yet to be realized. We want to thank you for the healings that are yet to come. We want to thank you for the souls that have been saved, that are yet to be saved. Because, oh Lord, you are the God of the potential. When you have spoken it, we consider it to be done. And tonight, whatever you say, we will believe that it's already done. If you are meant to restore, we believe you have already restored. If you are meant to heal, we believe you have already healed. That's who you are. You have never changed. Thank you, God. Protect every man and woman tonight as they go back to their respective home until such time we meet again. We are very much thankful. Thank you, dear God. Thank you, the Holy Spirit. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your administration, Jacob. Thank you for your love and grace. Thank you for your tender heart towards us. Thank you for your unmerited grace. We want to thank you for everything. Thank you for electing us. Thank you for calling us your children. And making that. And he took a son of David on the cross and said, this is my bride. Thank you, Father. Those that have needs, jobs, whatever they need, may you provide it for them. Every man in the building that has got a need, every woman in the building that has a need, you know that need, dear God. May you respond to those needs. That through this prayer, may we have so many testimonies so that we can break to the devil and say, you don't know what my daddy did. As Brother Branham says, his son would break and say, have you seen my daddy's muscles? No one has got muscle like my daddy. Tonight there is no God that has got the muscle that our God has. Thank you, dear God, as we commit every person here to you. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. We serve a miracle waking God. God bless you richly. Have a blessed week of what remains of it. May God grant you the strength, the mercy. May He preserve you until such time we meet. God bless you richly. We serve a miracle waking God.